And let's set some music. Why? Because we can. Favorite note, just about, I tell you. Thank you, everyone. It's good to see you. I'm just gonna hit the stop playing the music there. All right, kia ora, everybody. Kia ora tātou iho mā. It is a beautiful day up here in Northland. It started out a bit shady this morning, but it is beautiful right now. And I tell you what, my chickens are probably out there going, why hasn't Dad come down to feed us? But I'm here doing this, and I've got an interesting show for you tonight. It's a little bit different, it's a little bit speculative, a little bit conspiracy fueled, I guess, and every now and then, you know, it's nice to stretch the imagination and stretch things out so that you have a look at things in a different sort of way, and that's the whole point of it. And yes, I know the weather is absolutely unbelievable all over the country except for the South Island apparently, and it's unbelievable. It is unbelievable what's going on out there. And we are going to be talking about that because there's some strange stuff going on, isn't there? There really, really is. And we're going to identify some of these strange things and talk about them and see if there's anything interesting or out of the ordinary involved with us. Now, don't forget, please, Fano, can you please hit the share button? Hit the share button. Why? Because I'm being wickedly shadow banned and restricted, and so I absolutely need your help to get the message out that we're sharing tonight. That's for sure. Thanks, Linda, for sharing that. It's Overcast and Hastings. Sybil says it is rain on and off in Auckland. Sister Megan is saying it's a wicked thunderstorm and horrible down in Auckland. Hot and dry in Palmerston. Okay, and where I was born. And thanks, Lance, same to you. And Megan, of course, is letting you know that it is a big lightning and thunderstorm right now out in East Auckland. So this is really, really weird stuff. Anyway, as ever, just to remind you what we're up to. Now, this poster here is the poster, let's turn my camera on, is the poster that we're going to use to get the word out about my national speaking tour. Now, the thing about it is that we may push it into the March area. Why? It's because we are working night and day, and Asher, my videographer, is on with us right now, and they're working on it right now. She's working on it right now. And how do I know that? Because I just got off the phone with her not so long ago. We've been working on things all day, and it's amazing what we are doing, and we are working our tushes off to get this done. We truly, truly are. It's incredible. I don't think, even if Elon Musk rang me up and said, Billy, I got $1 million for you, and here it is, that probably would barely scratch the surface of how much effort we've put in into this documentary that's coming, The River of Lies, New Zealand Scandemic. So again, if you'd like to support us in our endeavours of finishing this documentary and helping us to do this, because we are not going to get an NZ On Air grant. No way. I don't think we're going to be able to apply to the New Zealand Public Interest Journalism Fund. No, I don't think we're going to get anything from them. I don't know. I could be wrong, but I actually did film myself speaking to NZ On Air, and they weren't too cool with me, eh? They weren't too cool with me at all. So if you'd like to donate to this wonderful cause, please go to riveroflies.co.nz. That's www.riveroflies.co.nz, and you can donate there. Also, if you enjoy the work that I do, if you appreciate the work that I do and would like to support me and my whānau so that we can live, and also support my ministry or my legal fees or the research that I do, then this is the way to do it. This has got nothing to do with the documentary account. This is my account. And we thank you very much always for the support that we receive. And if you'd like to do that, this is the way that you can do it. And we are very, very grateful. In fact, my wife and I, we really do. We give thanks to the Lord, and we do truly appreciate it very, very humbly, the support that we get. All right, guys. So I want to start off... Jeepers, I'm going to sound like the government. But I'm going to start off with a couple of interesting things. We're going to look at Auckland weather, because I had a good friend of mine send me some shots yesterday that I found pretty interesting. And we're going to have a look at a couple of shots from what's been recorded by people's cameras down in Auckland. And let's have a look at it. And let's see if we can just bring that up just a slight bit there. There we go. All right, let's have a look at this and see what we can see. Look at that, guys. Wow. Okay, that's the first one. Here's the second one that we want to play here, and have a look at this. This is quite cute. All right, so basically that sort of shows you what's going on in just a couple of shots there. Of course, we've now seen the shots where you've got Countdown and Pack and Save being flooded out, a gym that's flooded out, and people doing press-ups in the water and all those cute things like that. But you know what? And I'm going to go there. There's some really strange stuff going on, isn't there? Now, I've been aware of geoengineering for a long time. It's no conspiracy theory any longer. Why? Because, of course, we have Bill Gates. He's come out, and I've showed all the clips before and other shows that I've done, which tell us and show us that Bill Gates, as he admits, is heavily invested in the geoengineering field. Now, what is geoengineering, right? It's upper stratospheric aerosol spraying. It's where they are spraying particulates into the atmosphere or the upper stratosphere, and it's meant to basically block out the sun and send UVs the other way. That's basically the long and short of it. Now, they've only meant to be theoretical programs. They are not meant to be deployed out there, but they've been deployed for probably now for about 70 years. Okay, about at least 70 years. At least 70 years, this technology has been deployed out there. Now, the three main basic chemicals that they're spraying in this cocktail mix that they're putting out there to block the sun out is barium, aluminium, and strontium. Now, we had some water and soil tested in Kaiwaka, north of Auckland, and it came back present with all three of these. And you don't find them in nature. This is chemicalized, non-organic materials, and it was found in the water and in the soil in Kaiwaka, and was tested by a laboratory in Hamilton that found it, right? And so, but the problem is with this type of work that they do, it easily sort of segues and dovetails into weather modification programs, which are a thing. The US Air Force, United States Air Force, has a document around its protocols and doctrine around weather modification warfare. Okay, so this is all documented. None of this here is conspiracy language. Now, you've got people like David Keith from Calgary University in Canada, who is a geoengineering scientist, right? And he speaks at all the shows. He goes around the world telling everybody that these programs are real, but they're not deployed. But yes, we all know how to do it. Yes, everybody knows how to do it, but they're not deployed. But the problem is, they are deployed. They're out there. How many of us look up at the sky and we see a jet streaming across, sometimes two jets, if you're in the South Island, flying down the island, and they've got trails behind them. And these aren't contrails. This isn't hot air connecting with cold air and turning into ice particles and then slowly evaporating as they heat up. No. That's not that. And a lot of the modern jet engines don't do that anymore anyway. These are trails that go for as long as almost as the horizon sometimes. And what they do, they start out thin, they go wide, and then they rain down. This is not conspiracy language, this is a fact. It's everywhere. You'd have to be a nut job not to know it. And look up and people go, oh, that's interesting. Now, I was in Germany a few years ago, and there was a jet flying super low, streaming this stuff out. Now, in Europe, it's like a checkerboard up there. It's like a checkerboard, crisscross, every which way. And then I said to this German lad that was serving me in this restaurant, I said, hey, mate, you know what that is? Oh, it's gone today. No, it's not. So I gave him a quick 101. This is 2012. I gave him a 101 lecture on geoengineering. And so the point is that I'm getting at is that weather modifications, cloud seeding is a real thing. Now, before I show you something else, I'm going to show you this old article here. And what do you think about this? Now, this here is a 2016 article from where? Radio New Zealand. Okay, fair enough, 2016. Valley was cloud seeded before deadly storm. Oh, really? An Australian state-owned energy company, has been asked to explain why it conducted cloud seeding over Tasmania's Derwent Valley the day before deadly flooding. Do you get this? Do you get the picture here? That here you have Radio New Zealand saying that there's an Australian company that's been pushed into a corner and say, why, and being told and asked, why were you cloud seeding this valley the day before the deadly flooding that hit them? Can you work this out, where I'm heading to? Listen to this. The catchment flooded on Monday near Ouse in the southern part of the state, where the search continues for a missing farmer. In the state's north, one person was killed and another remains missing. Listen to this. I'm going to highlight this for you. Cloud seeding is a technique used to increase rain to bolster dams and involves the addition of a substance to suitable clouds to encourage the growth of ice crystals or raindrops. So is this a conspiracy theory? Yes or no? Yes or no? If you're looking out there thinking Billy's finally lost it, think again. Think again. Is this conspiracy language or not? No, it's not. This is Radio New Zealand, state-owned media agency, reporting on the investigation of a state Australian state-owned energy company that got caught out, what? Seed clouding the day before a massive flood. Are you starting to get the idea of what I'm saying? Right, let's look at this again. Let's just do it one more time, just to really drive home our point here. Does this look like a flood to you? I think it does. There it is, looks like a flood. Now what's my point? My point is this. This is what a friend of mine, a musician friend, a great drummer by the way, Richard sent me yesterday. And this is in Auckland. Now, I want to ask the question, where throughout New Zealand history or growing up, especially you guys out there sort of over 40, when growing up did you ever see clouds like these? When? Whenever did you see clouds like that? Would I be lying if I said never? Because I grew up in Auckland for most of my life and I don't ever remember seeing clouds like that. I've never seen clouds like that. I've seen strange clouds up here and the most strangest lightning you've ever seen in your life, two nights in a row up here. But what's that? So I want to plant the seed there. I want to ask you, what do you think it is? What do you think it is? Harper just says, I never did believe see clouds like that. No way. Michelle says, that's horrendous. Well, that is not natural. Never believe. That's right. Sister Kylie. So this all comes down to what we're dealing with, isn't it? Where they're doing things in plain sight and telling you, no, it's something else. It's something else. Whatever you're seeing, it's something else. It's not what you're seeing, even though it is what you're seeing, is what is happening, and it's plain to see. You don't need to be out of control about it. Be calm, observe it, report on it, document it, have evidence of it, collect it together, and then you've got the stuff, you've got the goodies. And that's what we're doing with the River of Lies New Zealand Scandemic. And you know what? And what I do want to remind us all, you know, the whole green energy thing, the whole let's go get lithium batteries and for our EVs and for our solar panels and all that. Yeah, have a look at this just as a reminder. This is an old clip, but you'll get it. Look at that.
You can see the huge scale of this open pit artisanal small scale mine behind me. 22,000 members of this cooperative.
Kids.
This is not considered industrial mine. It is all dug by hand. And it's all cobalt. They then sell the ore to Chinese buyers. That gets sold off down the supply chain. The president of this mine was complaining that Western companies will only buy from industrial mines. They're shoulder to shoulder and hot. It is so dusty.
Yep. And that's what they're selling to us right now. They're saying, yep, get your green energy. But what's green about that? In fact, isn't it just an absolute shocker? Let's not fall for it, folks. We are involved in a chain of tyranny, a chain of hypocrisy, a chain of dishonesty. And, you know, there's nothing to see here. Nothing to see here. No. You may see them doing something right in front of you, but it's not what you're seeing is not what you're seeing. That there is a lithium mine, essentially, isn't it? Now, what goes into EVs, electric vehicles, and hybrid vehicles? What goes into solar setups? And I'm all for solar. In fact, one of the greatest solar companies in New Zealand is aasolar.co.nz. They're amazing. Tell them I sent you, Billy sent you, aasolar.co.nz. Get a discount. But go and see them. They've got the best setups. Right? But the fact is, let's not play games with it. You know, the World Economic Forum is telling you, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. Meanwhile, a thousand jets are flying all over the place, and hundreds of them are heading into Davos so that they can come together and tell you what's good for you, and not to have a carbon footprint while they preach and help, you know, and are hypocritical, and then they jump on their private jets like Al Gore and flies off. Al Gore, who was an absolute liar, who's made hundreds of millions out of the whole industrial setup of the green sector. Wow. And we just believe it, don't we? Well, I don't. All right, let's have a look at this. This is interesting. This is about Ardern resigning. Just thought I'd use this as a segue article.
A Fox News alert and some rare good news. The appalling Prime Minister of New Zealand, Jacinda Ardern.
Jacinda.
That's the lady with the big teeth who tormented her citizens, has just announced.
Okay, all right. They always do this to me, guys. Sorry, I'm just going to let this play out. But do you know what he just said? Jacinda? Oh my gosh, isn't that funny? Jacinda. So what we've been seeing with all the so-called right-leaning conservative media establishments, they've been jumping on her like big time. And the fact is, you know, the fact is we can't argue with it. If we were in defense of Ardern, we can't argue with what this guy's just said, Tucker Carlson. He's just said, well, you know, he's the big tooth tyrant. Well, you know, she did say she was the single source of tooth. Anyway, let's see this article through a bit.
Ardern, that's the lady with the big teeth who tormented her citizens, has just announced she is leaving office. Here she was moments ago.
Announcing that I will not be seeking re-election. And that my term as Prime Minister will conclude no later than the 7th of February.
Most authoritarian leader that country has ever had, and no one else comes close. Appalling abuser of human rights of her own people. She, of course, earned the admiration of Western leaders, including former CIA Director Michael Hayden, by ushering in an era of near totalitarianism in New Zealand. She shut down the entire country over a single COVID case. She told everyone to stay in their bubbles. She told citizens to inform on their neighbors by calling the police if they saw them outside.
And let us never forget that, because what they have, of course, now is that's matured and evolved since those days, that she was saying, look, if you see someone outside, ring us up and ring the police up and ring the hotline up and tell us that your neighbors are breaching COVID-19 public health restrictive orders, if you like. And that's what people did. Because of why? Because of the nonstop messaging, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, COVID-19 death fear. Now, we need to be big men and women, big boys and girls here. The people that did that were sucked in to the lie, weren't they? We need to be forgiving to them, but, you know, that's what happened. It's evil, and it's exactly the methodology of tyrannical authoritarian regimes. And is Chris Hipkins going to be different? No. He's the guy, of course, that said he's going to come out and find you if you don't get your injection. And he's still got the capability to do that right now under perhaps Operation Protect, New Zealand Defence Force operational protocols underneath this operational order and operation called Operation Protect. He could do that. And now he's Prime Minister. He has the authority to do it. But he's already said it. He said it over a year ago, didn't he? That he would send people out to go and find out where all those people that are vaccine hesitant are. So all this stuff is coming apart big time. But people fell for that at the time because of COVID-19 death fear, didn't they? But the problem is now, this is what we're going to keep a watch on, because now the narrative is falling around the ankles of all of these people. Ardern, Tony Fauci, Hipkins, Bloomfield, no, let's not forget him. You know, Boris Johnson, all these people, Macron, Trudeau, all of them, all going to be in the crosshairs of justice because the narrative has been blown apart out there, isn't it? But the problem is the New Zealand government announced, what did they announce on the 31st of August? What did they announce? In fact, I have to check that. It may not be August, but it's definitely the 31st, maybe October. Well, they launched the Know the Signs campaign, didn't they? Know the Signs campaign, which is a New Zealand Security Intelligence Service program with New Zealand Police Intelligence Sections to basically use domestic counterterrorism methods to identify people that are speaking up about COVID-19 narrative dishonesty. Not people, not nut jobs that are saying they want to go and hang someone or kidnap a parliamentarian. I'm not into any of that, would never endorse that. And I think you all know that. But what they're doing is, through this totalitarian approach, and unfortunately the Director General, Rebecca Kitteridge, agrees with it, is that they've created this Stasi-type citizen informer program where not they're saying now, even though everything's blown away now about COVID-19, there is no truth in it. We all know that now. Even people that are dead asleep are somehow hearing it in their stupor that something might be wrong. And so, but they've still got this program in there. Know the signs. If somebody says to you they don't like the Prime Minister and they've got anger about COVID-19, blah, 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 it's because they're misinformers. They've been misled. But this is the problem, is that the evidence has actually been, they've inverted the evidence, which says something else. The evidence actually says, and believe me, I look at it all day, every day. I worked till 2 in the morning this morning on all of this stuff. And the evidence is remarkably, calmly so, but screaming out the opposite, that we've got major, major, major problems with the New Zealand government's narrative around COVID-19. At the very, very best, at the very best, it is complete government incompetency, ineptitude, and that's about as good as it gets. At the very, very best, and negligence, which is still a crime. But at the very worst down the other end, which is where you're going to have to make up your own mind when we present all the evidence, you'll have to make up your mind as to what you think it really looks like. And that's the benefit of doing a documentary like this. We are not going to force feed you with anything to force you to make up your mind in any way. You're going to have to do it yourself. But one thing we're not going to do is we are not going to be pushing a political message. We are not going to be saying, let's turn up and protest anywhere. We are not going to advise everybody to go and harm somebody. The whole approach behind this beautiful documentary is that we're going to educate and inform you, and you make your mind up from there. But make no bones about it, there you go, I just said it, JH. Make no bones about it, there may be enough evidence here to prove that there's something beyond just common mistakes involved with us. So, Tucker Carlson, thank you for that, mate. Appreciate that big time, because he really just put it out there and said it the way it really is. All right, here's another bombshell one for you guys. Here is another bombshell one that I'm going to go to. Now, this was, I got this the other day, and I want to show you this because this will underline the point. This will underline the point of what I just said here. Oops, sorry, we don't want that one. Oh, well, maybe we do, actually. We might be able to use it. Stand by, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry, I just picked up the wrong phone there. And, yeah, hold on a sec, good friends. I've got two options on this one, but I think I'm going to go with the other one. Let's just see. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. No, that one. No, no, no. Excuse me, guys. My apologies. I did have my finger on it, but I ended up taking my finger off it and losing it. Uh-huh. I might have to go and check something out. Wait on 1 second. That. How about that? Okay, no, I need to go this way. Apologies, whānau. I just want to get this done properly. Let's go down to the show wall, shall we? Yes, let's do that. And... Uh-huh. This is really annoying, my friends. All right, we'll go this way. We'll go back to where we were. We're going to have a look at an article where it's going to be showing Bill Gates basically being put into a corner, and where he's sitting there and he's talking just like matter of fact that there's some big problems here with the you know what. But we'll let him describe what's going on here. Where is it gone? All right, here we go. All right, we're going to just push this here. Now, this is him speaking. This is just a few days old, and you're going to see it just like this.
Anyway, so antibodies, antivirals. We think we can also have very early in an epidemic a thing you can inhale that will mean that you can't be infected, a blocker, an inhaled blocker. We also need to fix the three problems with vaccines. The current vaccines are not infection blocking.
There you go.
They're not broad, so when new variants come up, you lose protection. And they have very short duration, particularly in the people who matter, which are old people. And every one of those things is fixable. In fact, doing that work is going to help vaccinology very, very broadly.
All right, guys. So you've just heard it directly from Bill Gates. The injections are no good. They don't block you getting infected. They don't last very long. A new variant comes along and it basically, it makes the other one that you've just had, the injection that you had, out of date. So effectively retiring it. And then he has the audacity to say, but it's all been good work to help vaccinology, his sector that he's invested up to his eyebrows in. And he says, well, what a great thing that is. You know, but the problem is, not only has it not been effective, but it's caused a lot of damage, hasn't it? Is that true? Is that fair enough? Is that a calm statement? I think so. I think I'm very calm in saying that. But if you unpack what he just said everything. He left out one or two other little points that he could have thrown in there, but he looks very, very uncomfortable, doesn't he? Doesn't he look very, very, very uncomfortable as he says that? And in fact, to make my point, let's just have one more look, because I never get tired of watching Bill Gates be uncomfortable in his seat.
Anyway, so antibodies, antivirals. We think we can also have very early in an epidemic a thing you can inhale that will mean that you can't be infected, a blocker, an inhaled blocker. We also need to fix the three problems with vaccines. The current vaccines are not infection blocking.
One.
They're not broad, so when new variants come up, you lose protection. And they have very short duration.
Three.
Particularly in the people who matter, which are old people.
So, and then he tries to sort of distance himself from the reality of that. But isn't that the whole reason why we had vaccine mandates in New Zealand? Isn't that the whole reason why we had apartheidism created a two-tier society? Those, as Jacinda Ardern, that have their rights and are injected, and those who don't, who are uninjected? Isn't the whole reason we had these was because if you got the jab, you weren't going to be able to get sick, and you wouldn't be infectious. Is that what we were all told? Yes, it was. So we can calmly look at the evidence using their own words, can't we? We don't need to get all out of control and start foaming at the mouth and looking like a rabid dog. No, we don't need to do that. We're way past that. We are all way past that. And if you're not, you need to get past it, because that's not going to help anything. We need to work together and go, right, okay, how are we going to deal with this? How are we going to let the politicians know we know that this happened? How do we help our brothers and sisters who believe the lie? How do we gently give them the data so that they can wake up to the truth without feeling like they've been hauled over the embarrassing coals or the diminishing coals or the foolish coals? You know, the old I told you so. No, we don't want to do any of that, because don't forget, even though they were horrible to us, even though they slandered you, even though they put you down, They rejected you. They did it because they thought they were going to die. Never forget it. Never forget it, because that's the picture that we're working with. People were told, if you don't do these things, you are going to die, your children are going to die, everybody's going to die. And yet, on the other hand, they were saying other things, weren't they? And Rita says, they want us to rely on them. They want us to comply, don't comply, get your family together and work like you've never worked before. These are man-made storms and rain. Sick. Absolutely. Scotty says, Billy, people won't cope. They can't believe that would be lied to on the mass scale. And I think, yes, there's some truth in that too, Scotty. Thanks for that, bro. But the thing is, we have to do this. We either want to, you know, like I was talking to my fellowship, my congregation yesterday, is that we either believe the truth and want the truth and live in the light, which is the place where the Father of Lights lives, the God, and we commit to the truth, or we don't. That's it. And if we have the truth and people are living in darkness, and isn't it upon us to actually help them see the light? Isn't that what seeing the light is about? To go from darkness and the ignorance of that into being awakened? Not woke, but awake to what's going on? Isn't it? I think it's on us. I think it's incumbent that we do that. I really, truly, truly do. I really think we need to do that. And some people aren't going to cope. Absolutely they won't. But that's when you love them. It's when you sit them down and you go, right, how are we going to do this? How are we going to make sure that you stay healthy? How are we going to make sure that you take what you've learned and help other people to wake up as well? Because all of these issues are intertwined, aren't they? They certainly are. They are really intertwined. Now, the other article I want to talk about tonight, this is really absolute, just like this thing with Bill Gates just now, talking like this, where in his own language, all I've done is play his clip here. There's another bomber as well that I want to expose to you. Now, last week, I was telling you that I sent several emails to Amnesty International New Zealand. Now, the reason what prompted this really comes out of the continual hammering by Amnesty International I was being, you know, going through in emails from them saying, hey, Billy, come on, dedicate to this human rights fighting advocacy organization. You know, right for rights, yeah, raise the age of criminal responsibility, you know, all these things, you know, human rights wins to celebrate. Wow, let's celebrate human rights. So what I did was challenge injustice, change a life. This is Amnesty International, guys. All right, let's get into it. I'm going to show you some things that I sent. I showed you guys this last week. Let's see if we can get this up here. Well, what happened was, bring this over here. Title here is Amnesty International Refused to Address Human Rights Abuses in New Zealand. Special message for Sean, the CEO. Now, what happened was, let's go down here. And so I was getting emails from this guy, Sean Greaves, who needs to have he and him beside his name. That should give you something to be concerned about. Listen to this. I have 9 beautiful mokopuna and am committed to doing my best to pass on to them a world in which justice, kindness, and courage are treasured. Justice, kindness, and courage are treasured. Isn't that an individual speaking there? Yep, absolutely. All right, beautiful. So they're asking for donations here. So what I did was, is that I sent Sean an email. And it went like this, and I sent it to him on the 23rd of December. Kia ora, dear Sean and Amnesty whānau. Can Amnesty International New Zealand help me confront the persecution of my whānau and I, please? Here is a press release below. I'm currently producing a documentary I'd love to include and showcase Amnesty International helping me, a fellow advocate for freedom, justice, and human rights for all people. You want to be a communist? I support your right to be a communist. You want to be gender fluid and rainbow person? You go and do that over there and you live your life doing that, and I'll defend your right to do that. But don't force your stuff on me and my babies. Don't do that, because I won't do that the other way around. So that's what I mean. Human rights, everyone to live as they please, as long as they don't overreach and harm someone else and get on with their business. Do no harm. And anyway, please let me know if you can assist. Things are very dire for me. Nambi Rawatu. Now, and I've got the whole thing there about mine and Vinny's arrest, right? Okay, listen to the, look at this reply that I got. Listen to this reply I got. Kia ora, Billy. Amnesty International identifies systemic human rights issues and advocates to change laws and practices. However, we cannot provide legal advice or investigate individual cases. And yet that's exactly what they've done in the past, is investigate individual cases. Our Get Support page includes links and phone numbers that may be helpful. Nā manaakitanga. Wow. Now, where in this email here did I mention anywhere asking them for legal advice? Where did I ask for that? You won't find it because it's not there. It's not there. I was asking them to help me put light on this systemic human rights issue problem in New Zealand. So anyway, I sent them this. Kia ora, Sean and Amnesty International New Zealand. I and my organisation do not accept this explanation, and we're going to lead a campaign against your organisation as being false. I've consulted with international colleagues of mine who are high profile, and they too have the same concerns about your organisation, that they're false. They are blind copied into this email. This is an issue of freedom of speech and human rights abuse here in our country, and yet not a peep from your organisation or the Human Rights Commission. And one can only deduce this is because, listen to this, now this was sent on the 24th of January, but listen to this, because this can only be because of your political positioning and your true ideological thinking. That's why they're not interested in me. But look what I had sent to me today. Look at this. This explains it, folks. Are they a political organization? You bet they are. And if you don't suit their politics, you can go burn in hell, as far as they're concerned. Look at this. A human rights approach to tackle disinformation. Amnesty International is a movement of 10 million people which mobilizes the humanity in everyone and campaigns for change so we can all enjoy our human rights. Our vision is a world where those in power keep their promises, respect international law, and are held to account. We are independent of any government, political ideology, really? Economic interest or religion are funded mainly by our membership and individual donations. We believe that acting in solidarity and compassion with people everywhere can change our societies for the better. Well, if that's true, why are they spitting this stuff out? Look at this. Introduction, punitive and criminal responses to misinformation and disinformation. The role of technology in spreading misinformation. Human rights approach to tackling misinformation and disinformation. Recommendations, family, who does this sound like? Whānau, who does it sound like? It sounds like the Misinformation Project, doesn't it? The Disinformation Project. It sounds like the new counter-terrorism laws in New Zealand. It sounds like the hate speech laws. It sounds like the Internet Censorship Bill. And they say they're not ideological or political? They certainly are. And they're now exposing who they really are. This is a leftist, socialist, communist government. And I did have my suspicions one other time. Angela says, Amnesty International got silenced about Ukrainian war crimes. They had to apologize for speaking out. Politics is overriding basic human rights. Absolutely. This is a travesty, family. And I'd be feeling the same way for anyone involved in this. Because how many donations have good people given to this organization thinking it was a true blue organization? Listen to this. During recent years, the world has been grappling again with pervasive levels of false or misleading information that is reaching ever wider audiences in new and often insidious ways. This is exactly what Kate Hannah says. But here we go. Here it is, folks. The adverse impact of false or inaccurate information shared without malicious intent misinformation, and that shared to deliberately deceive or mislead people, disinformation, has been brought to the front during the what? Here it is, folks. Why did they not want to help me? Because they're saying that I'm part of the COVID-19 pandemic misinformation crew. That is why, let's see if I can highlight that. There it is, right there. Misinformation, disinformation brought to the front during the COVID-19 pandemic. There it is, black and white. Look at that, folks. This is like reading the Disinformation Project. This is like reading the Memoration of Misinformation. This is exactly the same thing. And it even looks the same. They've even got it set up the same way. Look at that. Look at this, guys. This is Amnesty International. It's the global movement for human rights, as long as you agree with them. As long as you agree with them. So I believe that Amnesty International, I believe that it's a front for globalism. I believe it's a front for communism. I believe it's a front for supporting socialist and communist agents and agent provocateurs that get pulled up in right-leaning conservative countries. Because you know what, I mean this, if a Black Lives Matter person got in touch with me and saying they're being persecuted for being a Black Lives Matter person, if a rainbow community member, LGBTQ, ABC, EFG, whatever, community member got in touch with me and said, Billy, I need your help. I need your help. I'm being persecuted for being gay. I would help both of these these people from these backgrounds and organizations in a heartbeat. I'd help them. But what if a member of the International Union of Socialist Youth turns up on my doorstep and says the same thing? I'm being persecuted, Billy, in New Zealand for being a member of the International Union of Socialist Youth, which is a communist incubator. I'm being persecuted. Will you help me? I would in a heartbeat. Because the point is, it's freedom for everybody or it's freedom for nobody. And that's Protestant biblical Christianity right there. Do you force Christianity on a soul? No way. True biblical Christianity would never, true followers of Christ would never do that. But if you don't have that in you, then all this is up for debate. And what Amnesty International here is, in my view, is a tragic, tragic builder of hopes in the hearts of men and women like myself, like Vinny, like Mark Rasmussen, like all these people that have been harmed in the last couple of years from the COVID-19 Public Health Response Act in New Zealand. And we think to ourselves, gee, you know, these people will help me, I'll get in touch with them, and yet they don't care. This is really serious stuff, and I'm so, so disappointed that I have to share a story like that with you. Believe me, it's no good. It's absolutely no good. I'm so sad to do that. All right, now here is something I want to share with you, and this should start to give you a little bit of an insight to some of the research that I do. And this is amazing, and I'm going to hit the, there we are, it's a bit big, so I'm going to have to make that smaller. Now, the interesting thing, I have to make that a little bit bigger, sorry guys, I'm doing this on the fly here, that this is being put together, this presentation of this part of the segment has been put together by the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum. Let's not forget that. And, you know, it was nothing more than despicable that I had people, including a Messianic rabbi, claim that I was an anti-Semite. Nothing more ridiculous than that. I've got dear Israeli and Jewish friends right now. One of my candidates in 2020 was Jewish. It's amazing, isn't it? But if you don't agree with what they're saying in the woke culture, then they'll use whatever. And of course, being called an anti-Semite is always, always, always what they do. They pull that one out every time, don't they? And I love my Jewish family the same way that I love my Samoan family, the same way that I love all people. No problems there. But anyway, back to the study, and this one is a beauty. I want to point out some things. because I want you to have a look at how this thing works here. Because if you can see what this medical history of the Nazis looks like, you might just get a bit of an appreciation as to where we are today. Because how many times have you heard me say the Nazis did this, the Nazis do that? How many times have you had people like Kate Hanna, Paula Penfold, or whoever say that, oh, you know, they're calling everything, they're saying that Ardern is like Nazis and WHO or what have you? Well, you know what? Let's just check on that, shall we? Because I think there's something, I actually think there's something to be learned here. All right, now this is page one. Now listen to this. I'm going to go to the key points here as quickly as I can. The Nazi regime under Adolf Hitler aimed to purify the genetic makeup of the population through measures known as racial hygiene or eugenics. Scientists in the biomedical fields, many of them medically trained experts, played a role in legitimizing these policies and helping to implement them. Wowee, folks. Wowee. So there's all this stuff about Adolf Hitler promoted a nationalism that combined territorial expansion, claims of the biological superiority of the Aryan master race, and virulent anti-Semitism. Boy, did he what? Driven by a racist ideology legitimized by who? Look at this. German scientists. The Nazis attempted to eliminate all of Europe's Jews, ultimately killing 6 million in the Holocaust. Many other people also became victims of persecution and murder in the Nazis' campaign to cleanse German society of individuals viewed as threats to the health of the nation. Look at that. To cleanse society of individuals viewed as threats to the health of the nation. Boy, doesn't that sound familiar? Listen to this. Our starting point is not the individual, and we do not subscribe to the view that one should feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, or clothe the naked. So they're not going to do that. Our objectives are entirely different. We must have a healthy people in order to prevail in the world. So what they're saying is, and you can overlay this into this new world fourth industrial revolution, the Great Reset, is that they only want eugenically clean people, healthy people. Healthy people, but their vision of healthy. Why? Because you're going to own nothing and be what? So much happier, but you'll be working for them. Listen to this. The Nazi regime under Adolf Hitler aimed to purify the genetic makeup of the population through measures known as racial hygiene or eugenics. Scientists in the biomedical fields, anthropologists, psychiatrists, geneticists, many of them medically trained experts, played a role in legitimizing these policies and helping to implement them. And it goes on. Listen to this. It just goes on. Medical professionals, listen to this. Medical professionals, physicians, doctors were drawn disproportionately to Nazism due to overcrowding in the profession aggravated by economic depression and as a backlash to a relatively high proportion of Jews in medical practice. And that was in 1933, 11% of all German physicians, which is not a great deal, but that's the excuse. Many medical professionals applauded the barring of Jewish doctors from state-run clinics and hospitals and later measures preventing Jewish doctors from practicing. Okay. Boy, are you seeing the connection between this and what we're seeing to how the NZDSOS doctors have been treated? Or Dr. Bernard Conlon? Aren't we seeing that? Don't get your jab, doctor. Speak out against it. You're not allowed to practice. And it talks about family physicians helped identify candidates for forced sterilization. So you see where this is going. Nurses became the perpetrators in the murders of children and adults deemed incurably ill. And here we go, right? Right, that's page one. It gets worse, whānau. It gets worse. And we'll skip through it because you need to see that. Science as salvation. Where have we heard that before? It's all about the science, eugenics, racial hygiene, again, talking about an overall biological degeneration of the population, right? And because of that, they need to, because of Charles Darwin's theory of natural selection, that the strong survive and the weak perish. right? And that, of course, is formed the basis of Nazism. That's what they did. So it talks about public, listen to this, eugenics advocates in Germany included physicians, public health officials, look at that, and academics in their biomedical fields. On the political what? Left and right. It's not over, whānau. This is not over. And so it talks about humanity, but international eugenics, German proponents of eugenics were part of an international phenomenon. Now, let's not forget that Rockefeller was a part of this. Rockefeller. Don't forget Bill Gates's mother and father were involved in Planned Parenthood, which is eugenics. Whew. Starting to get the picture now, whānau. Pretty amazing stuff. I mean, it's terrible here. So it's talking about the final solution. It's talking about these, you know, dealing with things. Listen to this. Eugenicists were more successful promoting sterilization laws, listen to this, in individual provinces, cantons, or states in Canada, Switzerland, and the United States. Pardon me? Really? Well, okay. So now we're going to get into it. The biological state. Nazism was applied biology, stated Hitler deputy Rudolf Hess during the Third Reich. Wow, this is really boomer stuff, family. This is really boomer stuff. Public health measures to control reproduction and marriage aimed at strengthening the national body. So this is public health measures again. Public health measures. Listen to this. Hitler's dictatorship backed by sweeping police powers. Listen to this. Silenced critics of Nazi eugenics and supporters of individual rights. Let's look at that. And supporters of individual rights. Are we seeing this for what it really is? Look at this. Nazi policy encouraged racially acceptable couples to have as many children as possible. Wow, this is wicked. Mass sterilization. Wow, listen to this. This is unbelievable stuff. The segregation of Jews, talking about that. Listen to this. The sterilization of ethnic minorities defined as racially foreign was not mandated until the 1933 law. Instead, the Blood Protection Law announced in Nuremberg on September 15, 1935, criminalized marriage or sexual relations between Jews and non-Jewish Germans. Soon after, Nazi leaders took biological segregation a step further and, of course, then started to create the next state on that was, of course, the creation of the ghettos, of the Jewish ghettos. Terrible thing. Listen to this. The goal of the Nazi euthanasia program was to kill people with mental and physical disabilities. In the Nazi view, this would cleanse the Aryan race of people considered genetically defective and a financial what? Burden to society. So then they started killing people. These are doctors. This guy here, Karl Brand. Man. And you know what the absolute unbelievable program fact about this is that most of these people that enjoyed doing these things were the doctors, the nurses, the epidemiologists, the public health experts. It's all through these papers, family. It's unbelievable. But listen, you know, and it truly is. And it talks about all of the... Here we go, here's another one. It talks about all of the medical companies that were involved in this. Look at that, mass gassing operations. It talks about, of course, the different programs, mass gassing of Jews. People who say that this didn't happen don't know history. They really don't. But this is the part I wanted to get to. Nazi medical experiments. Now, I just want to say to you all that this is pretty heavy stuff. But take notice of it, because this will give you an understanding as to what we are dealing with today. Do you think Klaus Schwab is anything different to the Germans of old? I don't. I think he's exactly the German of old. I'm not, and I've got some beautiful German friends. In fact, I've got a heap of them. Sister Doreen, baby Rosalie's mum, my dear friend Rita in Whangarei, one of my best mates as a kid. Was a German exchange student, a boy. So this is not about the people. This is about the mindset. Nazi medical experiments family. All right, let's go into it, because we're gonna put this all together in a second. Listen to this. During World War II, a number of German physicians conducted painful and often deadly experiments on thousands of prisoners without their permission. Considering the inhumane conditions, lack of consent, and questionable research standards, modern scientists overwhelmingly reject the use of results from experiments in the camps. Yet we're living through one right now. The world is a camp now. So the role of the medical profession, look at this. So they carried out a campaign to cleanse German society of individuals viewed as biological threats to the nation's health. The Nazis enlisted, listen, the help of physicians, medically trained geneticists, wow, biologists, psychiatrists, and anthropologists. Okay. Experiments dealing with the survival of military personnel. No, we don't need to deal with that one. Experiments to test drugs. So the German industrial medical complex were using prisoners as testing guinea pigs, weren't they? Look at that. Joseph Mengele, yep, of course he was. Joseph Mengele. You could replace that name with Bill Gates. Listen, and look at it, it just goes on. Scientists tested a number of methods in an effort to develop an efficient and inexpensive procedure for the mass sterilization of Jews and other groups Nazi leaders considered to be racially or genetically undesirable. Now, this is one of the things I want to get to. The Nuremberg Code was created in the aftermath of the discovery of the camp experiments and subsequent trials to address abuses committed by medical professionals during the Holocaust. All right, let's click onto that. Let's go to the Nuremberg Code and look at this. Look at this. Let's go straight down to this. The voluntary consent, principle one, the voluntary consent of the human subject is absolutely essential. This means that the person involved should have legal capacity to give consent, should be so situated as to be able to exercise free power of choice without the intervention of any element of force, fraud, deceit, duress, overreaching, or other ulterior form of constraint or coercion. And I think we just leave our case there, don't you? Because that is what we have just been living with the last 3 years, almost 3 years. Can you believe this? It's all laid out for you. There it is. There it is. And the IG Farbens and all of those people, all those industrialists, all of those, all of those medical companies like IG Farben that were a part of this are still around today. These are now your modern day vaccine developing companies. And the whole approach was never again, wasn't it? Never again. And the big thing that I want to point out here is that I just about vomited during that Fire and Fury hit piece where they had the stupid, silly Dean of Law from AUT, Kylie Quince, say that the Nuremberg Code and implied that the Nuremberg Code could not be used by people like you and me, and it was inappropriate. What planet is she on? This is Kylie Quince, the Dean of AUT Law Academics, Academia. This is a professor of law saying that you and implying, more than implying, that you and I have no right to try and say that what is happening to us today and our whānau and friends that have had to be mandated to keep their jobs and forced to take this thing that Bill Gates just said, well, it doesn't work. Well, big problems, huh? And Kylie Quince tried to make out that only people that are appropriate should be able to interpret the Nuremberg Code. Well, I've got bad news for you, Kylie Quince, because you don't have to interpret. It's there in black and white. It's for the individual person to say no or yes to a medical anything. it's not up for the overreaching of a government to force these things onto us. So where is this woman coming from, Kylie Quince? Where is she coming from? Well, she's part of the woke left. She's part of the woke left. And my dear friend, Amy Benjamin, had to work under her, poor lady. So this woman, Kylie Quince, in this Fire and Fury documentary, is pushing an untrue narrative, is she not? So can we trust mainstream media? No, we can't. Because under mainstream media influence, they're putting out things that are basically saying, well, guess what? You are being offensive to Jewish people by saying that this has any relevancy to the Holocaust. And yet you've got Jewish people all around the world saying this is exactly like the Holocaust. And like this brave lady here, I escaped the Nazis once, you will not defeat me now. Where you have the descendants of Holocaust survivors in Israel that said they could not believe what was going on. Vaccine mandates? I'm not allowed to go to the movies because I'm not vaccinated. I can't go to a restaurant because I'm not vaccinated. Isn't that, I can't go to a restaurant in Berlin because I'm Jewish. I can't go to the movies because I'm Jewish. That's the same deal, isn't it? It's exactly the same deal. But let us never, ever, ever forget that they said it would never, ever happen again. They lied. The establishment lied. Point of fact. Not a point of I'm trying to be clever. No, I'm not. But what I want to do, what I want to show you, is an example of a CEO equivalent in our world today, who could have easily have been one of those Nazi physicians and doctors. Let's have a look at this guy.
You. When did you know that the vaccines didn't stop transmission? How long did you know that without saying it publicly?
Thank you very much.
I'm sorry. Answer that question. I mean, we now know that the vaccines didn't stop transmission, but why did you keep it secret? You said it was 100% effective, then 90%, then 80%, then 70%. But we now know that the vaccines do not stop transmission. Why did you keep that secret?
And why did the New Zealand government say, get it and you're protecting your whānau?
Have a nice day.
I won't have a nice day until I know the answer.
Okay, so the same guy here that is being dishonest and evasive is the same guy also that is getting ready to go a whole lot further than that. Let's have a look at this one. This is from Davos. This is from just a week or so ago.
You raised it. Yeah. Where are you in developing? Because I think that's what you were originally doing with BioNTech. You were developing mRNA for flu. Where are you on a flu vaccine based on mRNA?
Oh, the studies are running. They have completely recruited. We are waiting for cases as they accumulate. It means that people have been vaccinated, placebo, vaccine, and now the disease, some of them will get disease. And then we are waiting to unblind the data to see what is coming. I think we'll come in this year, in 2023.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. I mean, you can't guarantee a timeline depending on the clinical trial.
No, because
but your best guess, what would you think?
I think by the first half of the year, maybe.
First half of the year?
Yeah, June, July.
Wow. And so how far are we away from one vaccine that's both COVID and flu together?
First, we need to have a flu. And if we have a flu, already we started experiments to combine the two so that we don't lose time again. I think we'll come more or less all together if it is successful.
So the question is, how do they get to develop these things in a year or so, get approval to bring them out? How do they do that when it takes 5 to 20 years to get to that state? How do they do it? And this is the same guy that didn't tell anyone that they knew that this would not block infection. Now, this is, of course, whether you believe there actually is a virus or not, right? Because I've got real, real concerns about that. But let's park that aside. Let's just look at the human rights issues, transparency, honesty, and accountability. And what you have here is the CEO of this company that's made billions upon billions upon billions of dollars pushing this drug onto New Zealand, and New Zealand tells you it's safe, tells you if you get it, you won't get sick, tells you if you get it, you won't be infectious. And yet we know all three of those claims are wrong. But where is this going? Where do they want to take us? I'm glad you asked, because I'm going to show you. And I want to share this with you, and then we'll be able to... here we go. I just want to get that. Gee, I don't know how I do that sometimes. It's incredible how this works. This is the world of the eternally technically confused person like myself. All right, so I'm going to go there. No, that's not what I want. We want to go here. Yep, that's what I want. And yeah, we want... No, that's not what we want. Excuse me, guys. Here we go. That's what we want there. Okay, right, this is perfect. Let's have a look at this, and then we'll go to the other one. Now, this is an insert. I want to share this with you, because this is going to put it all together, why we've just been looking at what we've been looking at very, very clearly for you. There he is again. This is Albert Bourla, the CEO. But who's sitting next to him? He's a nice little surprise. Let's have a look at what this person has to say.
Helen, let me turn to you and ask you a really important question on the political side.
Helen.
In the midst of the poly crisis, in the midst of political turnover, how do we maintain political attention to pandemic preparedness and response? How do we maintain the thread, keep the focus?
All right, he's speaking really quietly, but what he is saying here, he's saying to Helen Clark, who's a matriarchal globalist, she's really not well, Helen Clark. She's really unwell. And her fake husband, Peter Davis. Anyway, the question is, how do we keep political attention worldwide on the pandemic preparedness issue and also the issue around COVID-19? Listen to this carefully.
In a way, we're back to the future at WEF, aren't we? 3 years ago, COVID was exploding in China. Here we are again, and tragically, it's exploding in China. And that, in the sense that it's an ill wind that blows no good, will keep COVID in the headlines and at the forefront of leaders' attention in a way that it might not have 3 years into a pandemic. When we wrote the Independent Panel for Preparedness and Response report, we were very conscious that there had been 16 previous such reports and commissions who wrote with recommendations, most of which sat on a shelf, and that it was very easy to enter a cycle of panic and neglect as the immediate heat of the storm passed. I think around the world, populations are over COVID, but as we know, COVID ain't over us and requires a continuing level of focus. And also, of course, it remains the moment to seize, to make lasting change so that the world can cope with a future outbreak with pandemic potential far better than we were able to do on the run this time.
So on the run, now listen to what she's saying is that they're going to build in this pandemic treaty or pandemic preparedness program so that they can deal with something that they weren't prepared to deal with. Well, the fact is, they were prepared to deal with this. They were prepared, and we've got the evidence of it from almost 10 years ago. 2017, 2019, war game preparedness for exactly this. And what she's saying is that they are going to architect an entire framework to put the planet into under the guise of pandemic preparedness.
Can I say, I'm actually quite encouraged at the number of trains that are moving in response to not only the Independent Panel report, but a range of other reports and recommendations too. You do have negotiating processes in Geneva for a new pandemic legal instrument of some kind.
See what she's talking about now. Now she's talking about a legal instrument that will commit countries around the world into this program. This is really big stuff. All right, that's Helen Clark. This here is the same meeting, but now this is Tony Blair. Listen to what he has to say.
Thank you. Tony, let me ask you, you've sat in a chair very similar to Helen's. I'm interested in your perspectives on maintaining political focus as well.
Yeah, well, the best way to maintain political focus, because, I mean, the reality is for the political debate in many, many countries now, COVID is in the rearview mirror. I mean, it isn't, but believe me, most the people sitting in Downing Street at the moment are not talking about COVID. And at the G7 or the G20, I think you won't get the focus you need unless it's clear two things. One, that there is an ongoing challenge and opportunity. And I think that is not just about COVID. It's about the fact that we are going to have a whole slew of new vaccines, injectables, that are going to deal with some of the worst diseases in the world, that give us the opportunity to make big changes in the health of the world.
That's the point there. That's the go-to point there. That they are going to create big changes in the world and the world's health. But the problem is, it's not the world's health that they're working towards. It's control that's they're working towards. Because if they're really serious about health, they would be feeding the poor, clothing them, helping communities truly fend for themselves in Africa, in Latin America. They'd be doing all of that. They'd be going into Haiti and helping that community there recover after the terrible earthquakes that they've had here. Harper says, Billy, you majorly freezing. They don't want you to share this. Satanic and bizarre opportunity to make changes in health. A big smoke screen. Yeah, that's a thank you, Harper. Yeah, I know that they won't like this. But this is all the truth. I need you to hit the share button, family. If you don't hit the share button, then it's going to go nowhere really, really quick. So please, I've only got 27 shares there. We need to be able to get this message out, because this is what's coming for you and me and everyone. And what we have to do is get this information, package it into our understanding, and get it out there to the community. We need to let people know that this is a global plan. It's integrated with, of course, other issues such as climate change. It's completely integrated with the COVID-19 phenomena. We've got all of the financial aspects involved in this. We've got, you know, the new central digital bank currency tied into the carbon tracing and tracking apparatus that they want to bring in for every man, woman and child. You've got Project ID20, which has been launched and given birth to through the COVID-19 pandemic, the project that Bill Gates has been working on for years and years and years. This is really incredible stuff. And unless we know what we're dealing with here, unless we're armed and forewarned, we are never going to get ahead of the curve. And I say that word on purpose, the curve. Because they said they were going to flatten the curve, but what were they really doing? They were flattening, you know, traditional understandings of rights, freedoms, democracy, and a democratic society, using COVID-19 death fear, using all of the techniques that I've just shown you that the Nazis did. But isn't it amazing that the Nazis used medical practitioners to do this? And they're doing it again today. Can you see the connection? I'm sure you do. And that interesting feature of the first part of tonight's broadcast about the weather modification, this is real stuff. You know, this is not guesswork. This is not us being being nut job conspiracy theorists. This is us figuring it out, being cool and calm about it, and reporting on it. And that's so important. Again, whānau, if you would like to support me in the work that I do, please do. I need your help to do things like pay for power, pay for my broadcasting, pay for my costs involved in doing this. It also helps me to feed my whānau. If you'd like to help me with my legal fees, this is the account to do that. It's nothing to do with the documentary. If you'd like to support the documentary, go to riveroflies.co.nz. We'd appreciate everything that you could support us with financially. But also, we've got this program coming up. If you'd like me to come to your city or your town and you think you can help me by finding a venue where we can play the movie and speak and share together as a whānau involved in this, then please let me know. Email me at billy@ibc.net.nz. And on that note, if you'd like some fantastic reading material, if you want to know why we have got a climate change law coming that is going to involve a day of rest by law, then you need this book. Get it. National Sunday Law. It's free to you. It will lead you to your Bible. And you will understand that the Bible is not like the Bhagavad Gita. It's not like the Buddhist texts. This will show you that what we're dealing with is well known by God. This will tell you about why we've got a climate change law coming. This beautiful book here, The Great Controversy, will give you the history geopolitically and geo-religiously about why we are where we are today. If you like this book, which is a beautiful devotional talking about the love of Christ and that God has for you, it would be awesome. It would be awesome for you to grab this. It's free. These books are free. If you like all three of them, email me at billy@ibc.net.nz. billy@ibc.net.nz. And if you don't have a Bible, also let me know, billy@ibc.net.nz, because for a small donation, I can send you a brand new King James Bible. And they're beautiful. I just dropped one off the other day to a friend and posted some away. And it's one of the greatest things that I can do is to do that. All right, whānau, that wraps our show up for tonight. Please keep everybody in your prayers in Auckland that have been damaged and harmed by this terrible flood system that has hit Auckland and rain system. But do know, none of this is by accident. I really do believe that the signs we are seeing, the tyranny, the closing down of rights and freedoms, the bizarre weather patterns, are not just about weather modification, but is actually about also the four angels of Revelation chapter 7, letting go of the winds of strife. I don't believe at all that we'll ever go back to normal. Klaus Schwab said, no, we won't be going to back to normal. That is an illusion. It won't happen. Okay? And so the reason for that is that whether he knows it or not, he's playing a role as well. Now, tomorrow night at around about 7:30 again, I've got a cracker of a show for you. Don't miss out. It's going to be a beauty. You're going to love it. I've got a special guest, and I'll post that on as well on my Facebook page. And Tuesday at 5 o'clock, I'll be live, God willing, on Telegram and having a chat show there. Please support the work that I do, but even more important than that, keep the spirit, the peaceful spirit in your spirit, because being a nut job, conspiracy theorist with your eyes bulging out and being like that isn't going to help you, and it's going to not help our cause. Let's be cool, let's be calm, stand on factual solid ground and help other people to see the truth. No need to lie, no need to exaggerate, no need to make up information. Use their information because it speaks as a witness against them. All right, whānau, do take care. God bless. See you tomorrow, God willing.